Well, let's take our Bibles this evening and turn to the book of 2 Peter. Book of 2 Peter, chapter 1. We're going to start with verse number 5 and read down through verse number, we'll stop at verse number 11. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the blessing that we can gather together this evening. And what a joy it is to be with your people, to enjoy fellowship one with another, and to be able to encourage one another just by our being here together. And I just pray that we would leave here encouraged, Father, not just from the preaching, not just from the singing, but from the fellowship, from our interaction, even just from just seeing someone across the sanctuary and just and seeing the joy and the lives of others and seeing Christ shine in their lives. And I pray that you bless our time. I pray that you be glorified in all that is done. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. If you look down at the end of verse number 10, I'm just going to look at this phrase really quick before we jump back up to verse number 5. He says, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. If you do these things, you shall never fall. You ever, ladies or men, ever follow a no-fail recipe? Anyone in here do that? And anyone do that and it's failed? you read all the reviews on, you know, look up some no-fail recipe on allrecipes.com or some other place, and you look at all the one-star reviews, and they'll say this was supposed to be a no-fail recipe, but it was horrible. It's supposed to be the best chocolate chip cookies in the world, but they weren't. Now, I didn't use chocolate chips; I used white chocolate chips, and I didn't have any sugar, so I used some Splenda. I didn't have any butter, so I used some margarine. And I didn't have any regular flour, so I used some substitutions. They didn't follow the recipe. And as you consider what Peter is saying here concerning our faith and our spiritual growth, we can't have substitutions. We can't put things in that God doesn't want in. We can't take things out that he wants in our lives. So it's very important that we stick to God's word and we are faithfully obedient to the word of God. As we looked at early on in this chapter, when Peter tells us that God has given to us according to his divine power, there in verse number 3, he's given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these he might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We have that because of that like precious faith that he talked about there in verse number 1. We have that faith in Christ. We are his children. And we've got all these wonderful promises given to us, all these spiritual blessings given to us. They're ours. We possess them, or we at least they're ours. In theory, maybe we don't possess them as we ought to, just as the children of Israel did not. The Bible says as they went into the land, they possessed their possessions. They actually took ownership of that which was already given to them, which God already said, this is yours. And they finally went in and enjoyed what God had already given them years before. And God has given us these great exceeding great and precious promises. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. He's given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. All that's been done. And in verse number 5 that we looked at last week, it says, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue." So God has done his part. And that beside this is very important. Now we need to do our part in our spiritual growth. God does not make us grow spiritually. He does not force us to grow spiritually. We have a responsibility to add to our faith these things that Peter has listed here for us. It's our duty, it's our responsibility to be earnest in our Christian growth. It says, giving all diligence. We are to apply ourselves to Christian growth. It is a choice. It is a, it's not something that's just going to happen naturally or happen without us doing something. Every single day we need to make a choice that today I'm going to grow in the Lord. I'm going to grow in my spirituality. I'm going to grow closer to the Lord. I'm going to grow in my knowledge of God. And ask yourself the question, today have you grown spiritually? If you have, what choice did you make? What things did you purposely do in your life this morning and throughout the day that allowed you to grow? And if you didn't grow spiritually today, what choices did you not make? What did you just allow you're just going to float down a river. You're thinking that you're just going to float along in your spiritual life and you're going to get to your destination. What did you not do right in your Christian life if you did not grow spiritually today in your Christian life? Because Paul tells us here again down there in verse number 8, "For if these things be in you and abound..." These things ought to be abounding in our Christian life. Not just there, but abounding. And we're going to get to that. Hopefully we'll get to that by the time the end of the service comes along. Last time we finished up, as we considered these things that were to add to our faith, were to add to our faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience. We stopped at patience last time. And so today we're going to go on to this next thing on the list, add to your patience, godliness. Again, these aren't just add-on things in our life where you've got these things. Now, it'd be good to have something else. I want to go ahead and add something else in there. This is like building a house on a foundation where everything goes together, everything fits together. One thing needs the next thing. And the next thing needs the next thing. And the third thing and the fourth thing is really dependent upon the first and the second thing. They all go together. They all mesh together. But we're to add to our patience, godliness. Godliness reflects an attitude of life that I'm going to live in with a sense of God's presence in my life. My desire is going to be motivated by my love for Him. I want to please Him in everything that I do. I want to please Him in everything that I say, everything that I think. I want to please God. It's a practical awareness of God. In every aspect of our life, as we go through the day, we have a practical awareness that God is here. God's in my life. It's not just talking godly. It's living godly. Understand that God is with us and is a really close association to worship. You know, worship is not a feeling that you get when you're sitting in church and there's a beautiful song sung. Worship is not a feeling. Worship is an action. We worship God. It is something that we do. It's not just a feeling. Worship is a verb. It's a response to what God's done in my life and what God is doing in my life. It's understanding that God is working, He's doing things in my life, and I'm responding to that in worship. In 1 Timothy 4, verses 7 through 10, it says, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness." Exercise itself. This is active. You need to be actively doing this. "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promised of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Paul, there writing to Timothy, said that we need to be exercising ourselves in the godliness, because godliness is profitable in our life. It's profitable unto all things. He says, that's a faithful thing. You can stake your life on that. That godliness is profitable to our life, not just our future life in heaven, not just our future life in God's presence, which is profitable there. I think I have someone in my notes that the kingdom of heaven is not a classless society. And Peter even mentions that here in verse number 11, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we grow in the Lord, as we do these things here, we see the spiritual growth in our life according to how we grow spiritually. In that same way, verse number 11, for so or in this way, an entrance shall be ministered unto you. And that word ministered unto you is the same word up there in verse number 5 when it says add to your faith. Things are going to be added to us as we enter into heaven's glory, as we enter into the kingdom of God. Depending on how we grow in our spiritual life, when we enter into the kingdom of heaven, there will be things added unto us. Our entrance will be added unto you at that point, depending on how we grow in the spiritual life. So there could be two people entering into the kingdom of heaven, and one has added all kinds of things onto their life, going into the kingdom of heaven, and here's someone else that has nothing added. They're saved. They're going into the kingdom of heaven, but they have nothing added to them. Why? Because they didn't grow spiritually. And throughout the millennial kingdom, don't think that that one that went in with nothing and the one that went in during their life here, they practice spiritual growth. Don't expect that they're going to be on the same level, so to speak, in the kingdom of heaven. Okay, the kingdom of heaven is not a classless society. There will be levels. People will be able to tell, that person must have been very faithful. That person must not have been very faithful in their life here. And during their earthly life, their mortal life. Paul said, it's profitable. Godliness is profitable. He says, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach. When he felt like quitting, they didn't quit. They labored. They suffered reproach. Why? Because we trust in the living God. They understood the importance of godliness. And when we consider where to add to patience, godliness, when we feel like quitting, when we don't have patience, we don't want to remain under a trial, we don't want to keep on, we don't want to do it. We want to quit. We want to give up. But we are adding to that patience, godliness, and we understand if I'm going to be godly, if I understand that God is with me. He's practically working in my life. Even in this trial, He is working in my life. Even as I suffer in this situation, He is working in my life. And I might not understand what He's doing or why He's doing that. We get small glimpses of things. You know, in 2 Corinthians 1, Paul, what Paul says here in verse number 3, he said, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Then we get a small little glimpse. Why do you go through the tribulations that you go through in life? That maybe will make you want to quit. You don't want to have that patience and remain under that. Why are you going through that? Because God's going to comfort you in that. Why? Because God's going to be working your life through that. For what purpose? Well, we know that all things work together for good. We know that. So we may not understand all that He's doing, but we know that He's going to use that to conform us to His Son. But He may have a plan for you, knowing that 5 years down the road, you're going to meet up with someone that you're going to be able to lead them to Christ because of what you went through back there. And maybe he's equipping you right now through that trial, that tribulation that you're going through. He's equipping you and preparing you for that time yet future when you are going to be able to use these things that he's teaching you to win someone to Christ, to lift up a brother or sister in Christ. And maybe they're ready to quit, but you'll be there to keep them going. So God is preparing you. And as we understand that, that's this godliness here. We're understanding that God's in all these things. I want to quit. But it's hard to be patient. So I'm going to add to my patience, godliness, understand that God is in this and I can't quit. He's working through this. And so we can start experiencing that patience in areas that we never thought possible. We never thought we could bear up under these things, these impossible situations. How could I ever bear up under that? Well, it's because we are growing spiritually and we've added to our patience godliness. And that godliness gives us a power. And there is power in godliness. Paul talked about it. Those that have a form of godliness, in 2 Timothy 3, verse 5, they have a form of godliness, but what do? They deny the power thereof. They're not going to go through tribulation. Those that have a form of godliness, when tribulations come, they're out of there. They're not going to stick around. They're going to stick around when persecutions come. Why? Because there's no power there. There's no power in the godliness. They're trying to fake it. In Titus 1, verse 16, it says, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work, reprobate. So they profess these things. They try to have a form. They try to imitate some things, but they have no true power in their life. The power of godliness is not there because they're not true believers. It's just fake. We see that these aren't, again, individual items that we just add to our cart, like we're shopping on Amazon, and we're just going to add these things in. They all supply and help each other, and you see it many places throughout Scripture as you're reading through Paul's letters, as you're reading through what John writes. You'll see a lot of these things that Peter writes about here. You'll see them just interwoven in what they're saying to other people. What they're saying to other churches. Just one example in Philippians 4, verses 11 through 13. He says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. What was Paul saying there? Paul wasn't saying, hey, Philippians, I want to give you if you ever read Peter's letter, whenever you get Peter's letter, I want to explain to you a little bit better what he's talking about there in those first few paragraphs. He wasn't explaining that. He was just, these are just things that were, as Paul was growing in his Christian life, these are things that he was experiencing. And Paul was growing in his Christian life. Peter was growing in his Christian life. They weren't stagnant. They were not static in their Christian life, and we ought not to be. We ought to be growing all the time, constantly, every single day. We ought to be growing. Today, we ought to be spiritually stronger than we were yesterday. Tonight, we ought to be spiritually stronger than we were this morning. Tomorrow morning after breakfast, you ought to be spiritually stronger than you are tonight. It's a constant growth that we ought to be striving for, adding to our faith, giving all diligence. That means if you're giving all diligence to something, you are purposefully trying to see something accomplished. If you have a business and you want to see that business succeed and you're giving all diligence to it, more than likely you're not working 9 to 5 if you're starting a business and you want to see it succeed. You're probably not working 9 to 5. You're probably working like 3 to 11, 3 in the morning to 11 at night. That's probably what you're working. Why? Because you are giving all diligence. You're trying to do everything you can to see this business get off the ground and succeed. And you may fail for year after year after year, and it's just not profitable, but you're determined to see it be successful. That means you're not getting up at 8 and hoping to get things started by 10 and maybe by 12, you know, start to slow down and knock off for the day. Okay. That's not giving all diligence. And in your spiritual life, giving all diligence is not like, I guess I'll open up my Bible and just kind of page around and just see what catches my eye. That's not giving all diligence. If you want to grow in your Christian life, it has to be purposeful. So he says here, we're to add to our patience, godliness. Then he says in verse number 7, and to godliness, brotherly kindness. So what connection is there with brotherly kindness? Brotherly kindness here is speaking of, we get our word, the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia. This brotherly kindness, it was, in secular Greek, was used just to talk about love between brothers and sisters, family members, love between there. But the New Testament elevated that word because as God's children, we are in His family. We may not be part of the same natural family. Those sitting in here this evening are a lot closer than my earthly brother and sisters. Why? Because there's a spiritual bond that we have. There's a spiritual bond with my siblings as well as they're saved. But because we're members of the same body here, there's a greater love, a greater brotherly kindness I have towards you in here than I have towards my own physical siblings. It's this love that we are to have towards one another. And we consider, Paul says to the Galatians in Galatians 6 verse 10, he says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. The household of faith. Doing good unto them. We have a love for them. And this brotherly love, we're commanded to love our enemies. And it's not necessarily an emotional thing. I mean, we don't have that emotional tie to our enemies that we want to go out of our way and supply for their needs. No, that tie may not be there at all, but we're to love them and understand if there's a need, we take care of that. We supply for that need. It's a choice that we make. But this love here does have an emotional aspect to that. There is an emotional bond that we are to have as brothers and sisters in Christ that grows. In 1 Peter 5, we're going to look at verses 8 to 10, very familiar passage. But consider this connection here. Add to godliness, brotherly kindness. Godliness causes us to have a reverence. In every situation of life, we understand that God is there. We have a practical understanding of His presence in our life. And as we understand that, as we recognize that, and we're always in His sight, as we're experiencing trials and tribulations, God enables us to have that patience and keep going. And as we're struggling those things and growing our faith, we look around us and say, you know what? If I'm experiencing these things, my brothers and sisters in Christ are experiencing these things. If they're growing in the Lord, they're struggling with some stuff. And so we add that brotherly love, that brotherly kindness, because we're understanding what they're going through. And Peter says in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. That's personal in our own lives. We experience that. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren. They're in the world. They're going through those same things. So we are to resist the devil steadfast in the faith because we have brothers and sisters in Christ. And there's that brotherly kindness, that brotherly love that recognizes that they need me to be strong. They need to be strong. And we have that bond. He says in verse number 10, but the God of all grace who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. I mean, Peter had that brotherly love, that brotherly kindness towards those he was writing to. He understood the things that they were going through. He was encouraging them to press on, but also reminding them, listen, as you're pressing on in this, those around you, your brothers and sisters in Christ are struggling as well. They're in the battle as well. They're in the fight as well, and they may be more wounded than you are. They may be having a harder time of it than you are, so don't give up. Don't quit. Keep on going. And then add to brotherly kindness, charity. This word charity, there's that agape love, the unconditional sacrificial love. Biblically, the love that refers, the love that God is. God is love. And 1 John 4, verse 8, 1 John 4, verse 16, God is love. John 3, verse 16, the love that God demonstrates to the world, that he commends his love toward us. He shows his love, but he sent his son. That's the kind of love that we are to add. This is the love of choice, the love of our will, that we are going to sacrificially and with a servant's heart serve our brothers and sisters. It's a choice that we make to serve them with humility, and it's the highest kind of love, a noble love, a love of our will, not motivated by what we can get, not motivated by appearance, not motivated by feelings. It's a love that is motivated by understanding what God's will is and choosing to follow God and to follow after this kind of love. It's unconditional. And Peter here tells us, add to your faith, there in verse number 5, and that word add applies to all these things. That word add is the aorist imperative. This is that Peter is putting out this command to add, to carry out this abundant furnishing in our life. There's a sense of urgency. Do it now. Don't delay. Don't put it off. Do it right now. What Peter is commanding by using this particular imperative is that spiritual growth, again, demands that we make a choice. This growth will not come automatically. We need to choose to follow the Lord and make an act of our will to add to our faith, to be giving all diligence in seeing this growth accomplished in our life. In verse number 10, it says, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered. For in this manner, by adding to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity, in that manner, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you. That word again, shall be ministered, is the same word, to add. To what degree we are diligent to add to our faith, and like degree our entrance into heaven, into Christ's kingdom, will be ministered unto or added to. What a picture here of our entrance into the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. What event in life, and most everyone in here has participated in this, whether personally participated in this or you've seen it, what event in life is everyone with expectation, they're all waiting, a group of people are all waiting for an entrance? What kind of event? You've all experienced it. In the past, you've all experienced it. What event have you? You've been somewhere with a group of people, and everyone is waiting and waiting and waiting for an entrance. What's that? Wedding? Exactly, for a wedding. Okay. What's everyone doing? They're waiting. They're waiting for the back doors to open up. For the bride to step in. That's what they're waiting for. When the doors open up, she comes out in her sweatpants, pajamas, hair in curlers, peanut butter and jelly smeared all over the front of her, jam upside of her mouth because she just dug into that sandwich. That's not a very pretty picture, is it? Here's a beautiful bride entering in. And she's done everything she could to make sure that it's the perfect day. Her dress is perfect, and any spot that was on there, ahead of time, she took care of those. If there was anything that happened to get on there, if her nephew ran up and gave her a hug beforehand and put peanut butter and jelly on her dress, she took care of it. Why? Because of that entrance. As we labor for the Lord, as we grow, as we are purposeful in our Christian life to grow, to add to our faith these things. God's already done his part. He's given us all these spiritual blessings. So beside those things, we're to give all those, we're to add to our faith, we're to be growing in our Christian life. As we do that, in that way, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As if here's a bride that was coming in with just the all she could afford. Best she could do was a simple dress. That someone else comes along and say, here's some pearls. Here's some diamonds. Here's some big bouquet of flowers. Here's this. Here's that. And it just gets added, being added on more and more and more. Pretty soon it's what she was going to be coming in as, and what she now enters in are completely different. Why? Because all kinds of things are added to her. That's the picture here. When we enter into the kingdom of heaven, we want to be an entrance. We want God to be glorified in that. And why does the bride do that? As a godly, if it's a godly bride, she's doing all of that for the groom. She probably really doesn't care less. I've never asked any brides, do you really, when you go through there, who are you thinking about? I think about your Aunt Margaret, what she'll think of you wearing her shoes or whatever. No, they're thinking about the groom. Why do we want such an entrance? Because of our groom. Because of Christ. We want him to be glorified in our lives, and we ought to have a desire to be growing in our Christian life. In verse number 8, he says, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacked these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten he was purged from his old sins. I mean, be brutally honest with yourself. Do these things abound in you? Abound. Are they truly increasing? That's what this word abound. If these things, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity, if these things be in you, they exist in your life. But that word abound means they are continually increasing. They're growing. Men, if you've, or women, ever done a lot of smoking meat and you put in a big hunk of brisket, you put in a big hunk of a pork butt, what usually happens when it gets to about 150 degrees? And dinner's coming up in 5 hours. What happens a lot of times, that big piece of meat? It shrinks, but before that even. Something that you hate to have because you've got a time frame. People are coming over, you're eating. And sometimes that timbers, you go back an hour later and it's still 150. Go back another hour later and it's still 150. Go back 2 hours later and it's still 150. I think, what's going on here? And it's just kind of stalled. Why does it do that? I mean, sometimes it can, depending on the meat, it could be 10 hours. For a big piece of brisket, it could be 10 hours where you go and look at it and the temperature never goes up above 150, 160 degrees and it just stays there for 10 hours. And then pretty soon something stops, and an hour later it's 210 degrees. Why is that? Well, because there was too much of something in that meat. There was too much moisture in that meat, and as it was cooking off, that moisture was evaporating, and as things evaporate, just when you're sweating, and you sweat so that you can cool off. And as that meat is, moisture is evaporating, it's pretty much just counteracting the cooking process, so it just stays at that temperature. And it could be hours and hours and hours long. And sometimes we find ourselves in that kind of a state, a spiritual rut where it just doesn't seem like anything's happening. And I'm trying to add to my faith all these things, virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and charity, and it just, nothing seems to be happening. And so often people will just give up and say, it's just not worth it. Listen, when you got a piece of meat on and it's in the stalling for 5, 6, 7 hours, guess what's going to eventually happen? The moisture that's in there is going to eventually all, you know, what's keeping it at that temperature is going to be gone. And then it's going to very, very quickly get to the temperature it needs to be. You know, there's things in our spiritual life that keep us stalled. How do we get those things out? Be faithful. And just keep doing what God's called you to do and add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge and to knowledge temperance. And just keep that spiritual growth up. And guess what will eventually happen? That stuff will finally get out of your life. And you'll see a great growth. Or you get what you can do on a piece of meat like that, you can crank it up to 400. And depending on the kind of meat it is, you can crank it up and put the heat on. And sometimes God will do that in our spiritual lives. He may put the heat on. But if these things be in us and abound, we're growing. They're growing. It's increasing day by day. They make you, he says here, that means that it puts you in a place, it puts you in a position. They make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. It sets you on a path of spiritual fruitfulness. It puts you where you need to be, where you are growing and spiritual fruit is coming out in your life. Like an artesian well, where you know the source is higher than the outflow and that water is just gushing out. Listen, the Christian life is supposed to be like that. It's supposed to be like that. I remember so often out in Oregon, we're going to stop here. This evening we'll continue on with this point next time. But I remember so often out in Oregon, there would be, as you're driving around on the eastern side of Oregon, it's in this, sometimes you think of Washington, Oregon, you think, well, that's, you know, there's just green, it rains all the time. That's on the western side of the state, that's where it rains all the time. On the eastern side of the state, it doesn't. It's desert, high desert. We'd be driving around in the summertime and everything is just absolutely brown. There's no green. But you look on the side of a hill and you'll see green. It may not be very big. Might not even be as wide as this aisle. Going down the hill, it might go down 40 or 50 yards, but everything's green. Why is it green? Because there's an artesian spring there that's flowing out of the hillside and there's life there. And the ranchers would find those and they would develop them so that that water would, instead of just going out on the ground and make that stuff green, they would put it into pipes and put it into troughs so they can water their cattle but it'd still be flowing out of that trough and all the time it'd be flowing. Why? Because the source of that spring was higher than the spring itself. We are God's children. He's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. The source of our growth is a lot higher than we are. And the only reason those springs won't flow is if something's stopping them up and keeping that water from flowing. Spiritually, we need to be growing, and the life of Christ ought to be flowing through us and giving life to those around us. But it's a choice. How we choose to live each day, how we choose when we get up in the morning. Are we going to give all diligence and understand that this is an imperative, an urgency here? We're to add to our faith. God's done all these other things. He's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. He's done all that. Now we are to give all diligence to add to our faith these things and to see spiritual growth happen. It's a choice that we have to make. It's a path that we have to trod. And when we do that, when these things are in our life and abound, it puts us in that place. We will not be barren nor unfruitful. We're going to look at that next time. Those words specifically, some great, a lot of good teaching in the scriptures concerning those that are unfruitful compared to those that are fruitful. But we'll start there next time and continue on here with what Peter's teaching. But great, great lessons for us that Peter is giving his audience here, and a lot of us will get down later why he's doing it. The purpose for his writing is it is that we grow, that you're not satisfied with a stagnant Christian life. You're not satisfied with being in a spiritual rut. You're not satisfied with being in a stall. We ought not to be satisfied with that. We ought to be giving all diligence, that it's a priority in life. I mean, some of you in here have probably started businesses, where there was a time frame where you just decided, you know, there's some things more important and get my business started than other things. It may be a meal or two. You say, I need this money. I don't have money for coffee right now. I need this. I need to put this $5 into my business. And you purposely made choices to see your business grow. Listen, what choices have you made to see your spiritual life grow? What choices? Let's all stand together this evening.